and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 223, the little thread spiders everywhere episode. I talk about that in the second quilt diary, and I need to go restage a thread spider episode just so you can visualize, although you probably don't need to visualize. When I say thread spider, anyone who has quilted using a dark thread and then walked around sock-footed around the house perhaps has deposited her own thread spiders that she later will come upon and go, ah, because she thinks it's a real spider. More on that later. It's March. It is March 9th, 2018. It is March, and you know it's a beautiful day outside, except for the part about it being really, really cold. I think in the first quilt diary, which I recorded a couple weeks ago, QuiltCon weekend, this is a little late, by the way. I think I'm getting on a three-week cycle. Everyone has so many podcasts to listen to nowadays. I don't think anyone's sweating it too much. But in any event, it was like springtime. It was beautiful. You'll listen to it. I sat on the porch. The birds were singing. And now, although I don't complain about the weather, it's really cold. But fortunately, the sun is shining. The sun has not been shining much this week. It's been gloomy. The last time it was shining, it was Monday. Will had a baseball game. Have I mentioned to you? I don't know if I've mentioned this or if I mentioned the Quilt Diaries, but Will made the varsity baseball team as a freshman. We're very excited for him. He gets to ride the bench for the next 2 months, but I think he'll get a better quality of coaching and of practicing. And there's some really great kids on this team that he can look up to. So, and hopefully be inspired by, especially because there's some kids who are really good students, not just good athletes. So I sat on a cold hill last Monday. I'll be sitting on a cold hill today. Might bring a quilt with me, an older quilt that I can sit on. I need a little sit-upon. I remember the sit-upon I made in Girl Scouts or Brownies. Girl Scouts. Many, many years ago. This was the 70s, so it was like a mustard yellow vinyl that we made in one of our troop meetings. And I wish I had it now because my bob got a little cold on Monday. I could also bring a chair, but it was fun. I sat with my good friend Lisa on the hill, and it was rather charming. There was a young man who sat with us. His name was Harrison. And he is a sophomore in college. He graduated from Durham Academy, which is where Will goes, and played on the baseball team. So he was on a spring break, and he came to watch a game, which I thought was very sweet. But it was also just fun listening to him. You know, he was friends with my friend Lisa Brown. He called her Mrs. Brown, didn't call her Lisa. But their families are friends. And he played baseball with her older son, Cam, who's a senior now. They played on the same team for a couple of years. So obviously it was very comfortable, and he and Lisa had a lot to talk about. But it was just with, you know, he was a sophomore, although he was not particularly sophomoric, but it's just that enthusiasm of a young man who is really entering into adulthood. He wasn't obnoxious. He wasn't overly sure of himself, but yet had that kind of confidence of a young man who's pretty sure he's, if not seen it all, seen most of it and knows what's going on. He was a super nice guy, totally charming, but it was fun. You know, I've got a soft spot in my heart for freshmen and sophomores in college because I've got me a freshman in college who's about to be a sophomore. I talk about the Jack going on spring break and his travel adventures. He is up in New York City right now. We're pretty sure he stayed at the Y. I'm not sure which Y, who's on first, but a YMCA in New York City last night. But this is his first trip up there, so we're really excited for him. He's doing great in school. We actually met some of his friends at a mock trial event at UNC, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, a couple of weekends ago, and they were wonderful. He has a best friend, Stephen, who is also on mock trial. They're rooming together next year. They are on the list to be RAs, and they are so much alike. It just cracks me up, including they're both really tall and skinny and handsome. And once they gain 20 pounds, they'll be really handsome. But Stephen has blonde hair and blue eyes, and Jack has black hair and brown eyes. So, but otherwise, it just was great to see them together. It made me feel good about the youth of America, all these young adults gathered to play courthouse, you know, I mean, but it was great. They were very serious. They were very smart. They, I don't know. There was just something about it that made me happy. It made me happy to see Jack so happy. So that's all is well. It's just cold. But yes, so what am I telling you besides, oh, I have one thing to tell you that's exciting to me. If you remember my quilt sweep exit, I finished quilting it. This was not true at the end of my last quilt diary. So I'm telling you this now. I finished quilting it, and I'm about to bind it. But I'm going to do, instead of really binding it, I'm going to do facing. I don't know how, you know, I don't know if there's the verb for that is I'm going to face it. But my friend Kristen, whose podcast I mentioned in the Quilt Diaries, I'm going to mention again. It's new. It's called Simple Handmade Every Day. I've got a link in the show notes. Kristen is a quilter, and I, you know, was asking her advice. This is one of these funny things. So I have my friend Patty, and Patty showed me how to do this binding where you match the binding to the different colors at the edge of the quilt, in this case, black and white. So I wanted the white in the quilt to extend. Somehow, let me finish a sentence before I start the next one. I wanted the white angles, the white rays in this quilt to not be cut off by a binding. So I think when Patty and I were talking about this sometime last fall, late last fall, I think what we were talking about is me doing, so basically a black and white binding where the white matches up with the white rays. And she showed me how to do that. Very exciting. And then somehow I got it in my mind about a month ago that I was going to actually do the binding with red. I don't know how I got that in mind. And in fact, I had tea with Patty recently. She said, oh, I thought you were going to do black binding. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, like black and white. And this was going to be red and white. And I thought, oh, yeah, after I went out and found this red skirt and cut it into binding. Which is great. Now I have red binding. The next time I need a red binding in that particular shade of red, I'm good. It was a good exercise. I'm glad I did it. And now, of course, it ends up I'm not going to really bind traditionally at all. So that interesting and useful skill that Patty taught me, I will have to save for another quilt. This quilt, I'm going to be facing. And that was Kristen's suggestion when I sent her a picture of the quilt. And she said that she thought about half the quilts that she saw at QuiltCon, which she attended a couple weeks ago in Pasadena. She said half the quilts, at least, were faced instead of bound, although facing is a kind of binding. So again, I am not sure about the verbs here. I'm not sure about the nomenclature at all. And I thought, oh, that kind of solves the problem of, you know, solves the binding problem. And here's an interesting thing for me. This quilt has been so close to being finished quilting wise that it took me 2 quilting sessions this week to finish it. I mean, that it was nothing. It maybe took 3 hours total to finish the quilting on this quilt, but I have put it off and put it off. And part of that is getting involved with the Melon Patch quilt. By the way, picture the top is finished. You'll see the picture on the show notes. But I think part of the reason I even got going on Melon Patch was to avoid having to do the binding on Sweep Exit. And now, like, I'm just going to do facing, dudes, and it's not even going to matter. So funny. So strange how our lives work out, isn't it? All right. With that thought in mind, on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Saturday, February 24th. It's about 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm being lazy. I'm sitting on the porch. You might be able to hear the birds. There's a lot of traffic on the road. People are up. They're about. Spring is springing. The birds are singing. Is it a real spring? I don't know. It's a little early for real spring, but it's also North Carolina. So it's not so early that you're thinking the climate is changing and we're doomed. You just think, oh, nice early spring this year. We shall see. Could snow next week. Who knows? Weather is crazy. Not that I complain about it. Sitting here with Travis, looking around. So I'm on the porch, and usually in the fall, I'm very good about sort of deconstructing the porch, putting things away, washing everything and putting away. We have a porch couch. And I didn't do it this year, which means I just have a lot of work ahead of me, and it's looking a little bedraggled. Bedraggled. How do you say that? Bedraggled. I like saying bedraggled. I'm saying bedraggled. So it's Saturday. I have my writing workshop today with the girls, and I think I'm going to do a little cleaning because my house is a mess. I have a draft of a book of Sam the Man. The fifth Sam the Man is due next Thursday, and I will have it done, but that's what I'm doing. Plus, a lot of stuff with Quilt Alliance. I don't know if you've had a chance to check out my interview with Victoria Finley Wolf. You can go over to the Quilt Alliance and find it pretty easily. We're trying to entice people to become members, and I hope you will. I think that the Quilt Alliance does great work. Got a lot of interviews lined up. This coming week, interviewing Alex Anderson. Was supposed to be interviewing Ricky Timms, but he's working on his new studio, and part of what we do in these interviews is a studio tour. Have who else is coming up? Denise Schmidt, just all kinds of people. It's kind of fun, kind of weird, but well worth it for all of us. I don't know what I'm saying now. I'm kind of going off. I'm still waking up. I'm still drinking my coffee. I popped on because I want to talk about QuiltCon, which is happening on the other side of the country, and seeing all the pictures. One, I really wish I were there, and two, it takes me back to last year when I had such a wonderful time with all my friends, old and new, and shared a little house downtown Charleston with Quilt and Jenny, had Holly Ann over for a day, and it was wonderful. So Nashville 2019, let's all go. I think that the quilts and QuiltCon that I'm seeing on Instagram are amazing. I see how my quilts, they weren't going to fit into that show. Now, I'm really thankful to people who are posting a lot of pictures to give a sense of the show. And I'm listening for reports from my friends who are there or waiting for reports. I want an overall sense because, first of all, the quilts I'm seeing are amazing. I kind of think from what I'm seeing, it's hard to say, it's hard to gauge, it's hard to judge. But I feel like this, it's, I don't know, is it fair to say better show? I don't know. Why do we have to judge? Why do we have to quantify and qualify and all that? No. But it looks like a great show. And yeah, I feel like there's certain trends you can see, but I'd be more comfortable hearing about those from other people as opposed to reporting to you from my peru after a perusing Instagram. But I don't know if you know this quilter. I think her real name is Heather Black. She goes by Quiltachusetts, and she's wonderful. And she's been the last year been obsessed with circles. She makes beautiful quilts, and she seems like a super nice person. I feel like she is like the trendsetter, and that's probably unfair to the other quilters. But there's something about her quilts, and that which I love. But I see echoes of in other quilts, so it may just be zeitgeist. Right. I'm seeing a lot of kind of deconstructed, broken piecing kind of quilts. Seeing a lot of orange and purple. And yeah, so I think about my quilts. I'm like, I don't know. I've asked my friend Kristen to go look at the applique quilts in particular because both of my quilts were applique. And give me, some feedback in terms of what made the cut. But yeah, I'm not looking at these quilts going, oh yes, my quilts would have fit in. And so it's just a reminder, it's a curated show. All shows are curated shows. But it's exciting. It's exciting. It makes me want to quilt. That's always, the happy result of being at shows or looking at pictures of quilts and being around quilts. It just makes me want to quilt. It's back in my younger day. I used to go to poetry readings a lot because I was a poet. And it was sort of the same thing, that I would go to poetry reading. And right in the middle of the reading, I wanted to start writing. So creativity begets creativity, I think. That's my thought. What else to tell you? Not a whole lot. I'm making good progress on the melon patch quilt. And I swear, I pledge, I promise that as soon as I finish this top, which will be pretty soon, it could be in the next few days, I'm going to quilt everything I have to quilt. I'm going to finish quilting Sweep Exit. I'm going to quilt Stars Upon Stars. I'm going to quilt this. So I'm going to quilt those three things. Am I actually going to quilt everything? No, because I've got a couple of other things I want to quilt. I've got a couple other things I need to quilt. I was about to say that I want to quilt. It's like, no, but I don't want to quilt them. One day I will quilt them. Maybe one day when I have practice quilting to do. You know, I am, I'm feeling bad. I mentioned my friend Kristen, who is at the show, QuiltCon, right now. And in my last episode, I did not mention that she has a new podcast. She doesn't have an old podcast, but this is her first podcast. So it is a new podcast. It is a homemade, a very well done podcast called Simple Homemade Every Day with Kristen Esser. And she talks about quilting. She also talks about knitting and a little bit about family life. She's got a couple episodes now. Talks a bit about, just homemaking, all the things. It's warm and friendly and domestic, and I love it. And I'm going to do my best to remember to put a link in the show notes to it. But I think you should be able to find it in iTunes. Sorry, I hear someone moving around behind me in the house. It's okay. But it's making me feel a little bit self-conscious about talking. Although they know. It's not unusual to find me in a room by myself just chatting away, so it won't be a shock to anyone. But so I'm thinking too, you can go to Kristen's blog, which is just kristinesser.com, and Kristen is KristinN, and then Esser, Esser. But I'm going to do my best to remember to show note it. So I think the main reason I got on today is just to say QuiltCon, it looks amazing. These quilts are really exciting to me. I'm always just so blown away by people's creativity, people's skills, and it sounds like everyone's having a good time. Are you going to any big shows this year? We've got a local show in a few weeks. The Capital Quilters, they're over in Raleigh. They're having a big show. And my guild, the Triangle Modern Quilt Guild, is going to have a booth. I'm actually going to sell books, so that's lots of fun. I hope you've had a chance to take a look at Margaret Goes Modern. It's very cheap on Kindle. I feel like it's $1.99. It's not that expensive as a book. It's a thin book. It's, I think, 5 short stories. But I'm getting really nice feedback. If you read it, liked it, feel free to review it. If you hated it, just send me love that I'll do better next time. I have sent Stars Upon Stars out to my editors. I have 3 people who look at it, including the man. So looking forward to getting feedback on that. I am looking forward to finishing up this new Sam the Man book and then cleaning my house. It's just been so neglected that it's sad. I feel sorry for my house. And I'm also looking forward to kind of regrouping and thinking about what's next, what I want to do quilty-wise. I would kind of like to write a quilty short story. I would. I haven't done it in a while. I love writing short stories. And I love writing about quilting. It's a way for me to think about quilting. And I like to think about quilting. So that may be up next as well. I don't know what else to tell you right now. I could tell you about curved piecing. I'm doing a lot of it. I'm getting better, I think. I don't have a lot of pleats. I think the big trick for curve piecing is going really slow and doing a lot of pins, pinning a lot, pinning extensively, in a kind of crazy over doing it kind of way, and going really slow. So it's kind of fun. These are very simple blocks, right? It's just a petal in a background. But together, I don't know, I think the simplicity of the design really pleases me a lot. Of course, I'm running out of fabric, because I always think, well, 2 yards of fabric will be enough. And it's like, no, 3 yards would have been perfect, but because I'm scared to just order one more yard, I've ordered 2 more yards of the cheddar, 2 more yards of black, because you know what? There always will be room in my life for cheddar and for black. So I'll have too much, but that's okay. It'll be an abundance of riches. All right. I think I'm going to go drink a little more coffee, but I will talk to you again soon. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Saturday, March 3rd. It's late. It's like 11:20 at night. I'm about to go to bed, but then I was walking through my living room, and I saw the black thread on the floor. And there's just this observation I have wanted to share with you for a long time. If you are quilting or piecing with black thread, you will get these little black threads all over your house, and half the time they look like spiders. So you will freak yourself out because they're like these armies of little spiders on your living room floor. Our living room is carpeted, and it's a light, and then it's like a hot chocolate with marshmallows kind of brown. And yeah, so these little black threads, and it's just, it'll kind of freak you out every once in a while. I'm not even that scared of spiders, although some of these thread spiders end up being kind of big. They freak me out. I have to tell you, too, this thing with spiders in our house, because this happened this week. What you heard is I just kicked one of Travis's little rawhide shoes, and it rolled across the floor. The man has this habit of stomping spiders. If he sees a big spider, he stomps on it, and then he leaves it on the floor for it to dry out. Like somehow that's what the carpet cleaning manual says to do when you've stomped a big spider on your floor. Like, be sure to leave the spider for 3 days. I end up having to get the spiders because after 3 days, I'm really tired at looking at the dried out spider corpse on my carpet. Yeah, that's just one of those things where I'm just like, I don't understand why you leave the spider corpse out. It's like, it just needs to dry up. So, yeah, but I've been wanting to tell you, because who else do I have to tell about thread spiders who will actually understand? My big news is I have finished the top for Melon Patch. Yes, I'm standing in front of it. I really like it. We're allowed to say that about our own quilts, right? That we like them. Otherwise, what are we doing posting pictures of them on Instagram? No, it's very cool. It's very graphic, if you know what I mean. I mean, it's cheddar and black. What else could it be? So there will be a picture that on the show notes, and that does mean that I have to start quilting and finish quilting, and I'm not allowed to start any new quilts until I have at least Sweep Exit, Stars Upon Stars, and Melon Patch quilted. That's what's happening. That is what it just has to happen. And I do have some cheddar and black interesting scraps left over, so I am going to piece them and maybe do some sort of center medallion for the back. And then I don't know what else I'm going to do. I have leftover black fabric. I have leftover cheddar. I don't know that I'll do an entire cheddar and black back. It's tempting, but then you know what else will be tempting is that I'll do that. I'll do the improv piecing, and then I'll like the back, and then I'll want to make that. That's how we got the Sweep Exit, boys and girls, so we need to be careful. Are you doing IG Quilt Fest? Amy Ellis of Amy's Creative Side does this. This is the second March in a row. As far as I can tell, the daily prompts are the same. So the first day was, you know, take a selfie and tell about yourself. And the second day was show a picture of your machine. And today was show your sewing space, which means there's a lot of really, really clean sewing spaces in Quiltville this weekend, including mine, which is actually the main reason I did it, because I thought that would be nice. I have been working. You know, I have kind of two little sewing spaces. I've described this many times. A lot of us sew in our dining rooms. I sew in the long leg of the L of the living room, dining room, all the what is the living room, we actually call the front room. And what we call the living room is kind of what a lot of people would call the family room. Anyway, so I have, you know, but I just have my sewing machine on the dining room table, and that just makes it much easier, not only for piecing, but obviously when you're quilting a quilt, to have that, all that table. And then I have a drop leaf table over in the near the chandelier, near what the traditional dining room would be. And one day I'm going to move that chandelier. It's more or less over my treadmill desks, and I'm kind of short. It doesn't bother me, but like if the man comes to kiss me goodbye, if I'm at work on the desk and he comes, he like, yeah, knocks his head on it. So anyway, and it's not unattractive, but it's really kind of 1980s formal dining room. So if I had my druthers, wherewithal, whatever, if I actually ever got anything done on this house that I thought about doing, I would have a really funky light fixture there instead of the chandelier. But that, you know, it's actually, I'm staring at it, and it looks kind of like another spider. This house is all about spiders. Oh, it's the house of spiders. I'm sorry, because I'm not really creeped out by spiders, but you might be. The man actually is not here. He has driven over to pick Will up. Will went to a little Duke Carolina basketball watching game that did not turn out well for Will, who is a Carolina fan. And he was amongst a lot of Duke fans. At the half, Carolina was leading by 10, and Duke ended up winning by 10. It was that kind of game. So, Jack took his first plane ride today. Oh, and if you're here on the East Coast, as we are here in North Carolina, he went from North Carolina up to Philadelphia, where he and his best friend are going to do some touring around. You know, you always forget, if you don't live in the Northeast, which I haven't in a long, long time, it's like everything is just there. So they're going to be in Philadelphia. They're going up to Vermont to ski with another friend. And then they're going to New York City. It's all very exciting. But this was Jack's first flight, because we, by and large, the farthest away we go is Kentucky. And that's a 9-hour drive. And it just, you know, it's just so much cheaper to fly. And I don't love to fly. The man doesn't love to fly. We do fly when we have to, but mostly we drive. And yeah, and I was hoping that Jack would fly before college. Like maybe he and the man would go up to New York, for instance. He's never been to New York. I know. What, you know, yeah, I don't know. We have pizza on Saturdays, and that's nice. Like, what have we done for these children? We go to Ocracoke every summer, and they go to private school, and that's all we have. No, we have a nice, it's all good. But yeah, you can tell I feel a little bad that Jack has not been to New York, and I feel a little bad that he's not flown. But he flew today, and he flew by himself, although the whole thing was he was supposed to fly with Steven, and something happened, and we're not sure what quite that was that led to Jack flying from Charlotte to Raleigh, which has got to take about 5 minutes, and then from Raleigh to Philadelphia. And yes, but saying about being on the East Coast, there are big storms. There was a big storm yesterday, a big northeastern wind, and flights were canceled. It was, the storm was so bad, and so today it was a little bit, by the time Jack finally flew out, his flight was delayed several hours, and by the time it went out, I think the storm had really died down, and I wasn't too worried about it. I was more worried, as someone who gets motion sickness, I was more worried for Jack flying in bumpy weather. I get motion sickness. I don't know if Jack gets it. And I really went back and forth in my mind about suggesting that he take Dramamine, because sometimes just, you know, motion sickness, I think, has a psychological element to it. I legitimately do get motion sickness. I get dizzy if I turn around 3 times. Like, I can't, when I get my hair cut, my stylist always wants to swing me around in the chair, right? So I'm holding a mirror in my hand so I can see how wonderful she's done with the back of my head. And I'm like, no, you know, I get up and I turn around, because if she actually moves me fast in the back, in the chair, swings me around the chair, I feel sick. So I really do have it, but there is that psychological component where you're afraid of being sick and all of that, and kind of makes it worse. So I ultimately decided not to suggest to Jack that he take Dramamine. So I don't know, but you know, he will, if he threw up, well, it's over now. He's there. He made it. Hooray. So yeah, all kinds of traveling. And Will is at this, went to his friend's house. He has a friend, Jackson. He's a really nice kid who lives like 45 minutes away and drives 45 minutes every day to go to school. Because some people do that. I don't know. I love my children, but I'm not sure I would drive 45 minutes just to get them to, you know, school. No, I don't think I don't love them that much. I thought I did, and at this moment I realize I didn't. No, and I don't fly them places, and yeah, and have never taken them to New York. I'm really just kind of selfish and not good for much. So the other thing, I feel there are a number of things that I want to tell you, but I think of them and then I forget them. I did read today a very interesting blog post, thanks to Colleen. She posted the link in Twilters, and I will post the link on my show notes. It's Cheryl Arkinson, who is a little bit of, what do they call them, a celebrity. I think perhaps maybe more in modern circles than in traditional circles, but she has done a lot. I think she designs fabrics and makes a lot of quilts and has judged at QuiltCon and on. Seems like an awfully nice person. But she posted a very interesting blog post in the last day or so about, it's interesting, it's called Simmer Down, Quilt Industry, but it's really in some ways not directed at the quilt industry. But it's about quilt, you know, sort of the quilt economy, the quilting economy, which we, as we know, has grown and grown. And it's a huge amount of money that goes into quilting. You know, what is it? It's like at $3 billion. And she thinks that, you know, lately there's been a bit of a course corrective. If you pay attention to fabric lines, which I pretty much do not, but this was big news that Free Spirit Fabrics is going out of business. And Free Spirit, I don't know if publishes is the right word, but produces, publishes, fabricates some of, you know, the really best known designers in the industry, including Denise Schmidt and Kay Fassett and Tula Pink and maybe Carolyn Freelander. I might be making that up, but these are hugely popular designers, and still Free Spirit could not make a go of it. And what's interesting is I just picked up the other day the latest issue of Modern Patchwork, and it has all this Free Spirit stuff in it. I'm just like, not anymore. But, you know, so that, you know, we know that a lot of brick and mortar shops are closing. And what she focused on in this column, this blog post, was really about changes in quilters' buying habits and changes she's seen in herself. And has seen in others as well. And, so she's saying, you know, a lot of people at this point, even say if you started quilting 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago, there's been so much focus on buying fabric. And, you know, this is something I've talked about before. I've never quite understood it. I'm not a stash person. I don't buy fabric just to buy fabric. I mean, it's not that I don't understand it. Fabric is beautiful. It's a golden period, a golden age, I think, of fabric design. So I do understand it, but I don't like to buy things. I don't like to shop. So it's, you know, so I don't have that impulse. But anyway, but at some point you do look around at your stuff. I don't, because I don't have a lot of stuff. But okay, so today, you know, I was talking about the Instagram Quilt Festival. Today was take a picture of your studio, right? And it's so interesting because some people, you know, like I said, so many people clearly, including me, cleaned up their spaces. Some people sort of defiantly did not. But what was, to me, what was interesting is when you could see people's stashes. And some people have humongous fabric stashes. You're like, you're looking at these mini fabric stores in their houses. And on the one hand, that seems fabulous, like how much fun. But at some point, you have to reclaim your life from the fabric. And Colleen, by the way, I think she's been aces on Twitter lately. You know, one of the things that she posted recently was a question like, what is the bad advice that you got when you first started quilting? And this goes back to the stash, because what she said is, you know, she was told, build your stash. And she ended up with a lot of fabric that she never used. You know? And so anyway, so what Cheryl Arkinson is writing about is people have built their stashes and they have enough fabric and now they're shopping their stash. And you hear that phrase all the time. I'm shopping my stash. I'm shopping my stash. So that's one thing that's going on. Two, younger women who started quilting, maybe, you know, they were because they were having a baby. That's so many people start quilting because they get pregnant and they want a quilt for their baby. That's a story you just hear over and over. Well, anyway, you have that baby and maybe you have another one and maybe even a third. And those babies get older and they start doing sports. You know? And you're just like, you're shelling out dough. And if you put a kid on a travel team, forget it. The fees are so high. So anyway, it's like you don't have as much disposable income to spend on fabric as you once did. So that was another thing. And I think the third thing she talked about was just, you know, since, you know, there are people who are kind of taking a step back and going, you know, I need to get out of this consumer mindset. You know, I don't need everything that I see, even if I have that disposable income to spend on it. It's a really interesting blog post. It also was really interesting are the comments, and people are saying, yes, this is exactly how I feel. And, you know, a couple people wrote about just that, you know, falling into that, I can't remember what the acronym is now for missing out. You know, so that idea, everyone else seems to be having so much fun, and you go on Instagram and people take these great pictures, and designers, of course, and people who are kind of more in the industry, the pictures they're showing are quilts made with the newest fabrics and the newest fabric lines, and people get all like, oh, Carolyn Friedlander, who is a wonderful designer. I mean, I know that when I see her fabric, I think it's really cute. So nothing against her, but people, I mean, they're just, and this happens at my quilt guild, and it's just amazing to me, and I'm not condemning it by any means. It's interesting to me because it's so much not what I'm like or who I am, but people know. People show their amazing quilts and other, you know, during show and tell, and someone go, oh, is that so-and-so? That's so-and-so. It's like, yeah, you know, but the problem is that if you get caught up in that, on the one hand, it's really fun. And on the other hand, you start feeling like that's part, you know, that you have to, right? And I think there are people going, wait a minute, you know, I'm not missing out if I don't go buy the newest line of Carolyn Friedlander fabrics. You know, they're wonderful. They're awesome. And she's a very talented person, but my life will continue. And so anyway, I will put the link. I thought it was super interesting. I thought the responses, people, I mean, and the way people were responding was kind of like with relief, like, thank you. I'm so glad someone has finally said that, which just interested me a lot. So, you know, I'm interested in the culture. I'm interested in the folklore and the folk life, not just the quilts, although I love the quilts most of all. This is a P.S. that ended a little abruptly. That was Saturday night, and I was tired, and I just rambled on for about 5 more minutes, and it was unnecessary. It wasn't interesting, funny, clever, witty. It was just the ramblings of a woman who should have been in bed 30 minutes earlier. So let me finish up now. One thing I didn't mention that's kind of exciting is that I interviewed Alex Anderson. When was that? Last week? I think so. Guess what? She was charming and delightful and down to earth and smart and funny. I was shocked by all of these things. No, I wasn't. This is an interview for the Quilt Alliance. To access this one, you actually have to be a member. I'm not sure what the membership is now, $25 or $35. You know I love the Quilt Alliance. I love the work that they do documenting quilt making in this country. And perhaps other countries as well. I think mostly right now focused on quilt making in the U.S. But you can go to their site or go onto YouTube and access all these amazing quilt stories, documents, small documentaries, 3-minute documentaries, sometimes longer. They do something called Quilters Save Our Stories. These are long interviews that cover a lot of territory, and I think you can find some of those online. You can find the transcripts. So if you're interested in someone like Victoria Finlay Wolf or Denise Schmidt, who I'm interviewing next week, by the way, you can go and read these interviews that lasted like 45 minutes. And you can also right now, and I'm going to, if I can remember to do this, I'm going to put a link. I don't think I did this last time. I'll double check. Maybe I'll do it again. Of Victoria Finlay Wolf talking at Quilters Take Manhattan a couple years ago. And it's quite wonderful. So there are these resources. You're interested in quilt making. If you're interested in hearing quilter stories, which, as you know, I love, the Quilt Alliance is doing this important work. So yes, this is a big fat plug for the Quilt Alliance. But if you want to hear me interviewing Alex Anderson, and of course, Alex Anderson would be the more important part of that equation, join the Quilt Alliance. It's not posted yet. I don't quite know the order of when these interviews are going to be posted. I'm also going to be interviewing Ricky Timms. That's coming up. I was supposed to interview him a couple weeks ago, but these interviews include a tour of the quilter's studios, and his studio's being redone. So we had to push his interview back. So you can see in my interview with Alex, you're going to be able to see her pretty fabulous quilt studio. So just making that plug there. It was a lot of fun to talk to her, as you might imagine. I think I've said that. I think I'll finish up. I do want to say thanks to everyone who commented. And I hope that you'll consider commenting on this episode if you enjoyed it the least bit, because I love to hear from you. And sometimes I get lots of comments, sometimes I don't. And I know, as I always say, I don't always do a good job of commenting on the podcasts that I listen to. So I'm as guilty as you are if all you're doing is commenting in your head. Same thing here. But I do love to hear from people. I like to know that people are listening. I'll keep doing this even if only 5 people are listening, because, you know, because I like talking about quilts. I really do. So with that, I will let you go, and I will see you next time here on the Off-Kilter Quilt. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the Off-Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.